Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, next week, is blatant ratings ploy week. Here on the program, we'll be unveiling our controversial new segments and features. Mick's got details of the latest nail biter from the chess world. We've got a Susie Moroney mad swim update, and we'll find out why blokes are returning to the trees. On Radio Gladiators, we'll once again open the closet. You can join the ranks of our prize dicks, and dropping by for his usual mental meander, it's comedian Dave O'Neill. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that, despite several letters from the vet, still hasn't been done yet. Martin Malloy. Phillips, good afternoon, Australia. It's the Thursday edition, which traditionally falls on a Thursday here at Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, the man who was quite happy to lend disgraced Coles Myer boss Brian Quinn one of his old tracksuits for the trip to the Clink, Mick Malloy.
He needs them, buddy.
I've been enjoying those tracksuits in the paper.
Is that standard issue, is it?
I thought you got the suit with the arrows written on it.
If a paper word gets out, you get a free trackie. People are going to be committing crime. This is going to start a crime wave.
I know. A tracksuit pants motivated crime wave. Watch out for it. Now, Mick, we've been sort of talking politics all week.
Have indeed.
So I thought today let's start up the other end of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this for an exciting story. A man living in India who suspects that his wife has been unfaithful to him has spent the last 3 months living up a tree and continues to defy all attempts to talk him down. When his wife tried to placate him by moving up the tree herself for 3 days, he not only rejected her advances but bit her on the arm. How bad does a marriage have to be before the husband moves up a tree, Mickey?
I don't know. I've no idea.
I mean, would that be the final desperate result of a long, slow deterioration, or did this bloke just snap at the breakfast table one morning? Right, that's it. I'm up the tree. But, darling, it's just a tiny misunderstanding. Too late. I've started climbing. If Dave-O calls, tell him I'm up the tree. He'll understand. He's been living up a silver birch since last December when his missus ruined his beanie in the wash. Up the tree. My parents used to have a lot of blues, but had never got to the tree climbing stage. My dad wouldn't last 5 minutes up a tree. He'd storm out going, take the kids to school. You've gone too far. I'm moving up a tree. Half an hour later, when he realised Pizza Hut won't deliver up a tree, he'd be blubbing like a baby and calling for a cherry picker. My dad's behaviour, Mick, is getting more bizarre as he gets older.
Mm.
You know, it happens with dads. I went round there recently. The dog's curled up on the lounge room floor. It's just come back from the vet. It's got, you know, one of those buckets on its head.
Yep.
Dad's lying on the couch. He's wearing one too. I said, what's going on? He said, it's a sympathy bucket. Makes the dog feel less self-conscious. You know how some sensitive men will wear a strap-on pretendy stomach when the wife's pregnant so they can share the load?
Oh, yeah.
Dad's getting around the house with an old Dulux paint tin on his head and no peripheral vision just so the dog can feel better about itself. Dad's like that, though. He'll do anything for the dog. He's the only bloke I know who takes the blame for the dog's farts.
Right.
Ever heard of someone doing that?
Never.
Yeah, that was me, says Dad as 5 people turn towards him, revealing 5 pairs of steamed-up glasses. He'll accept for the, you know, anything the dog does, he'll accept the blame for it. Yes, I tore all the sheets off the clothesline. That was me. Yes, I dug up the remains of the cat, left it on the back doorstep. I shat on the neighbour's front lawn. That was me. He won't go that far, actually. My dad's termed a fantastic new phrase with relation to the dog recently. He left a packet of about 40 sausages just out for a barbecue.
Right.
Dog's got them down the lot in about 30 seconds. Next morning, Dad's gone out in the backyard to discover what he described as the Great Pyramids of Cheops. And he's just left them there calcifying for 3 weeks. Anyone came round, he'd go, check out the pyramids. To this day, no one knows how they were constructed. Javi, you can keep your faith. This is Martin Malloy, Mick. I've covered the big one, man living up a tree.
You haven't left me much to move with.
Anything?
But, well, Tone, I thought it might be time for a bit of an update. Read the old chess match between Russian superstar Garry Kasparov and IBM supercomputer Deep Blue.
Oh, what's happened?
Well, the $1.4 million grudge match is tied at 1.5 games each.
Is it?
With Kasparov apparently having to play 2 of the last 3 remaining games using the black pieces, which I understand puts him at a bit of a disadvantage.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, you know what Pauline Hanson told me the other day?
What's that?
Apparently the black pieces on the chessboard used to eat their own babies. Yeah, when they weren't going on their merry way, having their little picnics.
I don't like it.
Oh, there she is. That's a lovely voice, isn't it? Imagine if they'd programmed Deep Blue to use that voice. Bishop 3 to pawn 2.
I don't like it.
Oh, okay. King to pawn 3.
I want to know what's going on.
Oh, that'd throw him off his game.
You'd get her in check and you'd get the, please explain. Apparently Kasparov tone is beginning to crack under pressure. In game 3, about halfway in, he attempted to confuse Deep Blue by swapping his queen for a Hamburglar figurine.
Did he?
Yep, he's trying every trick in the book. You know what he's using for a king, don't you?
What?
The con, the fruiterer doll.
Oh, no.
Every time he's in check, his king says,
"How are you today?"
Got that, Deep Blue. And if it's checkmate, his king goes,
Is this being televised on Foxtel?
It should be, shouldn't
I hope
it?
So.
At one point he insisted the game be stopped completely.
Mm.
Reckoned he wanted to put one of his horses down. And he's constantly referring to one of his bishops as Desmond Tutu. He's cracking tone.
Oh, it's showing.
Did you know after a grueling day's play yesterday, Kasparov was moved to remark that the computer was playing like a god.
Really?
Playing like a god? What does that mean? Getting virgins pregnant? Insisting that, oh God.
It's advanced programming if it's doing that.
Tried to tell him he had to build a thumping big arc after game 2.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't understand. I don't understand. Where in the Bible does it say God created a computer that would get really smart noodling as chucking a wobbly? Tony, did you know the other day, Deep Blue's got so cocky when Kasparov hesitates before moving a piece, it makes chicken noises?
Does it?
It just sits there going, gets to you after a while. Yeah. It's even organised chicken man to come round and bash on the window when it's taken too long. Mind you, if you're after a computer that really knows its business, I don't think you can go past that nasty piece of work we've been assembling. Deep Brown.
Oh, look, don't mention that.
Oh, Deep Brown. It's a shocker.
Yeah.
Tone, I'm halfway into a 7-match series of hungry, hungry hippos, and it's given me an absolute caning. It just won't stop woofing hippos. Pops them like tic-tacs, Tone. Yeah. If I take too long to make a move, I can hear Deep Brown's tummy rumbling, and every time it polishes off another hippo, it just lets out a quick... just to intimidate you. You know what I mean?
It took a long time to program that.
It's gamesmanship. It's gamesmanship. I was challenging it to a game of strip poker the other day.
Were you?
And every time it was my go, it would flash up a nude picture of Terry Hatcher's body with your head on it. Oh, it was grotesque. It looked like something Eddie Murphy would offer a lift home to.
I thought that site had been closed down.
It should have been. Needless to say, Tone, Deep Brown crushed me like an ant.
Right. Is that why you're just sitting there stark bollock naked, Mickey?
Nah, that was days ago. I just like it when I walk past the text and they wolf whistle.
By that'd be human nature here at Martin Malloy.
Next week is blatant ratings ploy week here on Martin Malloy. We're pulling out all the stops with a series of increasingly desperate on-air events and giveaways. Monday, special guests KD Lang, Melissa Etheridge and Mr. Humphreys from Are You Being Served are on hand as Mick Malloy finally comes out of the closet.
Mick, come out of there!
Tone, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm playing for the other team.
Oh, Mick, not!
Yes.
The AM band?
Afraid so. Listen to me.
Oh, no!
I've gone over, Tone. Check this out. Our next caller is Doris from Gympie, and she thinks Pauline Hanson is doing a fantastic job.
Mick, you've turned.
It's the new me. Coming up next, Joke of the Day and all the latest showbiz gossip with Peter Ford.
Oh, I don't know who you are anymore.
Tuesday, it's the same show as always, but with gratuitous bursts of hip new music a la Good Guys, Bad Guys. Okay, Mick, it's time for Radio Gladiators. Got today's challenge?
Yeah, I'll just grab it.
Great. Hey, look, here comes Pete Smith.
Hi, guys.
Wednesday, and oh, no, here comes... See, Mick's pregnant and still doing the show.
Okay, Tone, our first prize, Dick, is... Oh, no, my water's broken again.
You've got to get that scene too.
Thursday and everyone's storming off the show Ron Casey style. Nah, Paul, come on. Everyone knows you were the passenger in Crowded House.
No, mate, there's no passenger in Crowded House.
I mean, what was that thing you were playing up the back? A drum kit? Is that what you call it?
Yes, it's a drum kit.
You were just hitting at something with sticks for, what, 10, 15 years?
Nah, f*** you, Buzz. I've had enough of this shit. This is a crap show. You guys use me. F*** ya. F*** you all.
Oh, gee, Tone, I think you might have gone too far.
Oh, right, I went too far. Oh, well, f*** you. Hey. Oh, right, so what, it's my fault, is it? Coming, Pete?
Sure.
Oh, this show is a disgrace, absolutely. What a lot of rubbish. I've never heard so much crap.
Guys?
Okay, Gracie, you can storm out too.
This show isn't very good. I don't reckon.
And it all winds up Friday with Mick and Tony's 1 millionth fart joke.
All right, Tone, try this one for size. It's been done, Mick. Okay, what about this one? So you're just going over old ground. We need something real special. So what do you think of this? Not bad at all.
Blatant Ratings Ploy Week, starting Monday on Martin Molloy.
What do you reckon? Open a window, Gracie.
Buddies, now we're getting somewhere before that Paul Hester stormed out, of course.
we had
to do a lot of takes of that, didn't we? He said, you know, I've never stormed out properly before. I want to get it right for you guys.
Good on him.
He's a professional now. What else is coming up on Martin Molloy? Dave O'Neill will be dropping by to open the app in the next hour. Comedian Dave O'Neill. Prize decks. Yesterday we had amateur motorcycle...
Chinese massages.
It sure did. What about the closet, Mick? You know, we've been inviting people to come out of the closet on Radio Gladiators. Yep. People are calling up going, when are you going to do that again?
Are we doing it again?
I think we might be.
We're so easy, aren't we? People could ask us to do anything and we'd do it.
Yeah. They haven't asked us to act a scene with Flipper again. Remember when we did that? Hasn't the last Flipper died this week?
Great
the last
show.
Of the... I think we should bring back that Flipper thing we did that time. No? Gracie, get your fingers out of your throat. It was a great idea. I know a lot of people would have been sucked in by the Woman's Day this week. Have you seen this? Exclusive. Friends shock. Jennifer Aniston's red hot strip. Amazing photos.
Mm.
And you open it up and it's beautiful star Jennifer Aniston is tired of being just a friend, so she's stripping off her wholesome image for the world to see in a particular Hollywood.
Mm.
Fearing that the hit comedy series may be losing steam, she's taken the drastic step of posing for a raunchy nude art session. How come these are the same photos that were in the Rolling Stone about 2 years ago?
They've been telling porkies, have they?
Apparently, the extraordinary photos may well open eyes to Jennifer's potential, but they're set to shock her conservative family. Mm. What, when their Rolling Stone from 2 years ago finally arrives?
Yeah, because I was confused when I saw it, because she's still in a bassinet. She looked about three. Oh, she's upset. Friends is going down.
So what happens? You get the photos, and then you go, how can we make this into a story? Oh, she's doing it because she's thinking of leaving. Because it's like nude photos from 2 years ago. That wouldn't be a story.
Mm.
Where are your nude photos, Mick? Aren't they supposed to be in there?
They're doing the rounds, T. Martin. You've got top dollar. You can buy them on the black market.
Oh, look, I'm sick of that. Has everyone seen that video of you?
Mm.
Oh, I'm just sick of that. Misusing the boom gate downstairs.
Oh, well.
Now, what about, have we missed anything?
Ah, look, can I talk about Susie Moroney for a minute?
Oh, the mad swim from Cuba.
The mad, mad, mad distance swimmer who just loves nothing better than to jump into icy seas covered from head to toe in chicken fat.
Yeah.
Well, she's had a bit of bad luck for Susie. She's had to put back her attempt to swim from Cuba to the United States because of choppy seas.
Choppy seas.
Yeah, Moroney was originally scheduled to begin the crossing today, but it's a no-can-do.
Oh, right.
And I also saw on the news last night some hilarious footage. Everything's going wrong. The bloke she brought out to actually drive the boat, it was a Cuban national who'd escaped, so they've arrested him, and she's got no one to drive the boat, and then her shark cage got caught in customs. They wouldn't clear it. They showed big shots of her shark cage, just impounded. They're looking at it.
Yeah, she shouldn't have tried to wear it through the customs. You know, that's always a giveaway.
At one stage, she had it on the front of her bike, I think, like a basket. But no, wouldn't swim it without the shark cage, Tone, which makes her a bit of a wuss, I reckon. Yeah. What about those New Zealand stowaways? They've jumped ship and swam for Ks through shark and crocodile-infested waters, then got to the other end and lived off bugs for a couple of weeks. That's how Des Renford used to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how it all used to happen. Mind you, I can't talk. I was supposed to go swimming at Bondi the other day, but I wouldn't go in until my turd cage arrived. You know what it is?
What's that?
It's just a shopping trolley, and I just get someone to push me around in waist-high water. I look really cute sitting in there.
Good on you.
But I've always got an eagle eye out for turds.
I've always said that about you, Mick. Just quickly, Gracie, before we go to the break, we haven't mentioned Senator Mel Colston yet. And listen to this.
We did mention turds.
Okay. Okay. He's broken his parliamentary silence. Have you heard about this?
Has he?
Yesterday, Mel Colston finally broke his parliamentary silence when he demanded to know why his wife Dawn was not invited to a dinner with German Chancellor Helmut Kohl. Does anyone else get into a dinner when Helmut Kohl's involved?
No. Nah.
But isn't that great? It's Mel's first question in Parliament all year, and what do you know? It's about food. Right, we've discussed WIC, media cross-ownership in East Timor. Any further questions? Senator Colston.
Yeah, where's me wife's free dinner?
This is Martin Malloy.
I'm through with the gags, the double takes, the belly laughs. I'll admit comedy's been good to me, but I've had it.
Brought now before a national radio audience for many years, I've harboured an unrequited love for that woman who says, Rage.
On Rage.
Oh, you're out now.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, dear.
Got a cassette of that in my car.
Yeah?
I just drive around.
Rage.
It's a form of road rage, really, if you think about it too hard.
It is indeed.
Rage.
I love that.
Can I come out of the closet?
Oh, go on.
Tone, recently I was coming home from a party. It was late, and it was a party that involved a bit of the old dress-up.
Yeah. Hi.
And I was walking home, and I was seen in a costume that, well, let me just say I could well have been offered a lift home by Eddie Murphy.
Oh, no.
Yes, I'm out there in the full regalia. You know what I was in?
Yeah.
Remember I played Joan Kerner on The Late Show?
Oh, no.
Just had it kicking around in the wardrobe, pulled it out.
I remember that was never handed in after that sketch.
Wow.
And Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
Digging himself in deeper, have you noticed?
Yeah. You know what apparently I heard he said to the prostitute?
Mm.
He's driving along, he's seen the prostitute, and he stopped the car, and as she's going to put a hand on the door, he's just driven off going, ha-ha, you've got balls, roll! Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure he thinks that's smart. I'm sure he thinks that's smart.
Open the closet, Gracie.
Mick, that bloke waving the swords in Melbourne, claiming to be the Highlander, brought down by the police dog, it was me.
Oh, please.
I had an inkling.
Just trying to get some publicity for the show, and that's not all. That loaded shotgun found in the street in Perth, that was mine. I was... Yeah, no, thanks, Gracie. I was taking it down to the buyback centre when it decided to make a bowl for it. And what am I doing with a pump-action shotgun, you might say?
Mm.
Well, Mick, when I like to go to a shooting gallery at, say, Luna Park, somewhere like that, I like to take my own gun. No, I don't trust the aim of them chained-down rifles, so I take along a shotty and I just let fly till they hand me the Pink Panther. It's the only way you're going to get a prize.
It's the way to travel.
Okay, you want to come out, Mickey?
Yes, please.
Oh, he's coming out.
Tone, when I'm at home, I'm on my own, the phone rings, and I don't want to talk to anyone.
Yep.
I answer it in a foreign accent.
Oh,
hello, hello. Who you want to speak to? No, he's not here. No, who? Mickey, who? No, he's not here.
Hang up. I ring back. Hello, who do you want to speak to?
I've had that heaps of times. And that wasn't you.
No. Oh, what can I say?
Remember that time when you did your celebrity impression, remember?
Oh, Mickey boy, going up to the phone right now. Oh, dearie, boys.
Any chance he gets, open up the closet, Gracie. Bit of a crime confession here. Mick, many years ago, me and some mates went to a 7-Eleven and shoplifted one of those big concave security mirrors they have down there.
Oh, no!
While one of us engaged the proprietor in a heated discussion over which was classiest, people or picture, the other two unbolted the mirror and snuck out. The guy never saw him leaving because they had the mirror.
There you go.
And
Just in case you're wondering, I had it fitted as a driver's side rear vision mirror on my car.
Oh, really?
I could see cars coming from around the corner. It was fantastic. Sometimes I'd just sit there in traffic, and if a driver started reading the paper behind me, I'd go, "Hey, this isn't a library!" Oh, that's a confession.
You know what I heard?
What's that?
Lip lady from Melrose uses one of those as a compact. Put on the lippy.
Oh, I think we've had enough. Oh, what's that, Sans? You've got a confession coming out?
Coming out.
Open up.
Open the closet.
What is it?
It has to be my Barocca ad. Is that right?
Yes. For those of you who don't know, she's the chick in the Barocca ant. Okay, well...
I've been around for weeks just going, B, 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 B. Just getting the B's right in the script. That's the important bit. B, 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 Barocca. No, more
yeah.
B's.
Yeah, okay. BB bounce, absolutely. Mm. Okay, they couldn't.
Are we all out?
I think we are. Gracie's looking at me, going, "Don't ask me, don't ask me." All right, I think it's time to see what we've got in the way of a prize. And Mick, you know, I think we were impressed by your performance earlier. Want to do the music for me?
Sure. Just wait a sec. Okay. Space the mic.
Okay. Very nice. Yes, you'll be winning a family-sized automatic bread maker with 10 bread settings and one pasta dough setting. It's all the pasta dough. That's how we get this music, people.
Hey, Tone, have you noticed how my butt cheeks are blowing up like Louis Armstrong's?
Are you on at the casino tonight?
I'm on, buddy.
We'll also throw in the Sanyo Tabura, a totally hands-free cordless phone with that powerful microphone and speaker in the handset. Just call us up and fess up to something. Come out of our closet on 1-800-657-657. Now, I'm Hanson. On the Dave Letterman program, I think, last night. Are they 6, 7? How old are they?
They're in their early teens, or about 10 to 14 or something like that.
Oh, they'll be over the hill in a couple of years in this game. Mm. It's Martin Malloy, it's Radio Gladiators. Today, once again, people are coming out of the closet. Who's going first, Mickey?
Oh, I believe it's Graham. Are you there, champ?
Oh, I'm here, mate. Yeah, here I am. Great, Mickey, Tony, Pete, Gracie, Australia. How you going?
Very good. Nice. Looking forward to seeing you coming out of the closet, Graham.
Oh, mate, well, you know, I've got to do it. You've got to sleep, guys.
Here he comes.
All right. It's scary. Yeah. While my wife and children are away in Queensland and I live in Canberra,
yes,
I watch Play School.
Oh, do you?
And Sesame Street.
Oh,
bananas in pyjamas.
Oh, that'll lead to harder programs. You'll be a Rugrats man in no time.
I love Ruggies. Tommy's such a cool little dude.
What about Mully Grubs?
I like the Mully Grubs. I like Ruggies better. Ferals are good.
What about that scary face on Mully Grubs? I can't watch that.
Yeah, well, that's a bit technical for me.
They should get Lip Lady to replace the lips on Mully Grubs. That'll be frightening.
I thought that was her.
That's where she started. Graham, what's your favourite, though?
Well, I'd have to say the Ferals.
Oh, the Ferals.
Yeah, they're pretty gross, those
very
guys.
Nice,
you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was Martin Malloy on it.
Oh, no, that's not us, although...
Do you have a look under those B1 and B2 costumes?
Contractually, we're not supposed to talk about that. Thanks, Graham. You've come out, and let's see if Kate is prepared to do likewise. Are you there, Kate?
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad. We're opening the door. What have
terrible.
You done? What?
I'm a receptionist.
Yes.
And when people come back on a recall and they're really angry and they say, "I want to speak to a human," I say, "Hello. And welcome to voicemail."
So it was you who's been doing that? Wow, are you good at that?
Extremely.
And they fall for it?
Yes, they do, unfortunately.
I'd heard of this, and I spent half an hour on the phone the other day to actual voicemail going, yeah, come on, the game's up, I'm waiting.
But Kate, obviously to pull it off, do you have to do a bit of a beep? Can you do that?
I can do the beep.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Very good.
Put Kate back on. Put Kate back on. Very nice. Well, you've come out, Kate, and now it's Anthony's turn. You there, Anthony?
Yep.
Okay, we're opening the door for you. What do you got to tell us?
Well, once a week we used to get out in the turf, and on the way home, there's one house in the street.
Yeah.
And we used to rip out their letterbox and their tree, and it'd take them about a week to put it back up, so they'd get it up and that night bring it down again.
Oh, that's a very poor example. You're not doing that anymore, of course, though, Anthony.
No, we've given it up after 2.5 months, so.
Gee, so you'd rip out, okay, a letterbox and a tree.
There.
Wow.
You'd rip a letterbox out and a tree.
I thought a letterbox would have been enough.
Take out the letterbox, put it up a tree.
Well, that's all they had in the front yard, so all we could take.
Carve a letterbox out of the tree.
Exactly.
You've got to be more creative, Anthony. Well, that's out of the closet, certainly, and not to be condoned, of course, because, of course, you know, you might rip out a tree and a disgruntled husband could be living up it, as we learnt earlier in the program. Have we got Daniel on the line? You there, Daniel?
Yeah, hello, you fellas?
Oh, not bad. We'll open the door for you. What have you got to confess?
A couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, up in Rockhampton, a few mates and I went to the show.
Yes.
And we went into the crazy maze. We were a little bit drunk.
Yeah.
And I got lost. And I couldn't find my way out, but I had to relieve myself, so I just did it in the maze.
Oh! Went for a number one in the crazy maze, the crazy stinky old maze, I bet it was after that.
Yeah, I still got me sticker, bud.
And did people see the steam rising and send a copter in to lift you out?
I don't know, I took off as soon as I finished, so I found my way out.
All right.
And the crazy maze, I'm no way.
Did Jack Nicholson do that in that maze in The Shining?
Yeah, I distinctly remember seeing yellow snow.
Okay. Oh, it's a classy old show, Martin Malloy. Have we got Kerry on the line? You there, Kerry?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to open the door. Don't be afraid. Out you come.
I'm a bit ashamed to admit this, but I'm addicted to Phil Collins.
Close the door, Gracie. Back in the closet. Back in the closet, Kerry. How old are you?
14.
14 and addicted to Phil Collins.
Mm.
Wow.
Gee whiz.
That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right. Sounds like there's mates trouble brewing.
And is it just you find him a bit of a sex magnet, that kind of
thing?
No,
I just like listening to him.
Oh, right.
Sit there and listen to him for hours.
What's your favourite one?
I don't know, really. All of them.
Suicidio?
Yeah, that's a good one.
What does that mean, do you know?
No idea.
No, no one in here either, I'm afraid. Okay. Well, that's a disturbing. That's just a little bit sick, I think.
We've got more than we bargained for today. No denying.
You know, that's like your dad coming out and saying, I love the chair. Have we got Wayne on the line? You there, Wayne?
Yeah, hi, guys. How you going?
Not bad. We're opening the door. You're our final emergee for the day. What do you got to tell us?
Well, I'm a high school math teacher, and I love coming in with the exam for the kids and tell them all to shut up and settle down.
Yep.
And then once they get started, I pull out the can of Coke, I get the Game Boy out, and I just play games up the front of the room while they're doing their test.
Yeah.
Now, listen here, Wayne. If you've got a Game Boy, I think you should bring one in for everybody.
We give it to, you know, we give it if they go very well in the test. Well, maybe they get to look at the Game Boy, you know. They get to do that.
Wayne, you're not chewing, are you, while you're talking to us?
No, I'm being very good. I'm doing very, working on hand-eye reflexes on the Game Boy.
Now, what are you saying? Work butt and
sort of, you know, look very seriously across the classroom, make sure no sideways looking or, you know, chewing gum or talking is happening, whilst, you know, working on ways to apply the Game Boy in the maths classroom lesson.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Get Super Mario involved in trigonometry. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
That's convincing. All right, Wayne, I don't know if you're our winner. Let's go back down the run. Graham, play school. Kate, voicemail. Anthony, letterbox and tree. Daniel, crazy maze. Kerry, Phil Collins. Wayne, Game Boy. I think we're going to Daniel, who's taking a whiz in the crazy maze. Yes. I know everyone thought that's the one we would go for, but with the crazy maze edition.
There it is.
There's something about it we like. Are you there, Daniel?
Yeah, I am, fellas.
It's paid off big time.
Well, good.
You've got the bread maker. Make sure, you know, we don't want any ugly incidents with that one.
No,
and
no.
You've got the totally, here's good news, it's a hands-free cordless phone.
That's what I need.
You'll be able to call for help next time you're in the maze. Okay, thanks very much for taking part, everybody, and we'll be back in the next hour with Dave O'Neill.
This is Martin Malloy.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, the latest sex scandal to rock the world of show business, prize dicks. You can be one and still win a prize. And next up, comedian Dave O'Neill's got something to say. All thanks to Coca-Cola. We know it's hot here at Martin Malloy. That's Tony Braxton. Our guest is here, Mick. This bloke, he's a writer, a comedian, columnist and support act to the stars. He'll be in Melbourne tonight for the opening of Crown Casino, where I understand he'll be doing card tricks in the foyer and hosting a Helmut Kohl lookalike competition. Yes, that's the special entertainment for those like Mick and myself on the E-list. Look out, it's Dave O'Neill.
Thank you. I'm doing a gig in the car park. I've got my clown suit back and it's all go. I'm running the Children's Entertainment Centre down
here. Yeah. Well, Dave, we know it's a special day for you. In you come, Sansia. Bring it in.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, it's Dave's birthday.
Thanks.
And we've prepared something. Oh, my God. Oh, look out.
Thanks, guys.
Those popping streamer things are going off.
I better make a wish. Hang on. Here we go. Oh, Mick, you've still got your clothes on.
Get out of town, you big palooka.
And that's a spectacular chocolate donut with candles on it that
that's
we've
beautiful.
Turned on.
Thanks for that.
Is anybody going to burst out of the donut? Pete Smith?
Oh, look, there's a worm.
Anything you'd like to say quickly? A quick thanks, anyone?
Thanks to Mum for having me. it's going to be great. 21 again, I can't believe it.
Every year.
Every year. Yeah.
And what are you doing and what have you got? Have you got any prezzies, anything good?
I haven't got anything yet.
Nothing at this stage.
No, my parents are overseas and my girlfriend gave me a bag, a Safeway one.
And in that was?
Nothing.
Fantastic.
It was a satchel, very nice.
What do you mean you got nothing? What's that? Scotch
Mist? Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's a donut with five candles in it.
I got a donut.
What are you saying? That doesn't rate?
I think it's fresh.
Oh, okay. Look, I know Dave is bursting to come out of our closet. Is that right, Dave?
I have got something to say.
Okay, open the door if you could, Gracie.
Out you come, Dave.
I was in the gang show.
The gang show?
Twice.
Which version?
It was in the late 70s, early 80s, I think. Because this is the Boy Scout Girl Guide.
Right.
Theatre extravaganza.
Yes.
And I was in it twice.
Twice.
And I'll never forget, because I was about 16 or 17 when I was in it, the humiliation coming out. The first song you do in the gang show, I came out in a green and yellow leotard.
Yeah.
And just hearing my scout unit just piss themselves laughing. I don't know whether that was more embarrassing or when I had to go to a dance ballet shop and buy a ballet support to wear under the leotard. And a woman, as a big joke, said, "Whoopie, small, medium, or large." But yeah.
And you got invited back. That's what I like. A second go.
2 years in the gang show. Two years. But there were some upsides. I had my first sexual experience with Arcala, which, was okay.
Well, isn't the closet shut now?
Yeah.
All right, Dave. You're crazy on the fumes from the donut.
Oh, yeah.
Those candles melting.
I can't hang around either because I've actually got Jeannie Little in my car downstairs.
What's happening?
Well, I thought she was a transsexual prostitute, and I was going to give her a lift home. You know?
Okay.
Well, please said you had her in there as a car alarm. Let's see what breaks in.
But I think that's great that Eddie has bought that that act of charity, picking people up. I mean, apparently there's these places you can go in the city. They're called brothels, right? You can go inside and actually ask people if they want to lift home.
Oh, yeah.
$400 an hour.
They're just swimming in charity down there. And he keeps making it worse. I was saying before, he just keeps coming out with, "I often help prostitutes on the street." And you're going, "Is that an analogy? Is that what you mean there?"
Oh, he's into charity. Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. Most stand-up comedians are. Yeah. I hear you talking about Brian Quinn before and the Coles Meyer guy, and he was wearing that beautiful tracksuit.
Oh,
which is, that's nice that they let him have his last meal at Sizzler. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I could just imagine Brian sitting in his cell just looking at the roof going, "You know, I think we could do a bit of renovation around here." And a spa on the left. But the funny thing is, the funny thing as opposed to the unfunny thing was apparently a prison official came out today and said that Brian should couple himself with someone, a more experienced prisoner.
Right.
Because he's going to be vulnerable because he's wealthy and stuff. I'm thinking, Brian Quinn top bunk, Chopper Reed bottom bunk.
Come on, Brian, tell us about the time you had the extensions on your house again, mate. I love that story.
But I think maybe Business Review Weekly should release, because there's so many entrepreneurs inside jail these days.
Yeah, that's right.
They should release a section called, "Who's Who in the Business World Who's Inside This Week." You know, like Alan Bond, "I used to be fat, but prison food changed all of that." That wouldn't be too bad. George Hurskew, the Tasmanian. Yeah. You know, "I used to own a radio station, but now all I own is a grey blanket and the tin cup." And of course, Brian Quinn, from 26 rooms to one room in 1 month. Fantastic.
Who else is inside? Is James Brown inside these days?
Oh, look, there's a revolving door on his cell. He's never far away.
Yeah, I know the authorities are outraged because he's planning to release a CD when he gets out. They're not impressed.
It's funny because, like, Nelson Mandela got out of jail, went on a world tour. Yeah. James Brown went on a world tour, then went to jail.
That's right. He just loves show business. All right, Dave, we want you to stick around, tuck into that donut, and chop it up nicely because everyone
Everyone gets to take a slice home.
Ooh, yeah.
At the end of the program. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Martin Malloy. Is Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Dave O'Neill is with us. Dave was involved in a comedy show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival recently. Did you have much to do with that mad bloke, Jim Rose, and his freak circus?
The freak show? Well, I didn't want anything to do with him. I used to run into him all the time. And did you know, guys, he was in The X-Files?
Was it? Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, he only meets about 50 friggin' million times. Every night he'd mention in his show, and any opportunity to mention he was in The X-Files, you know, would you like a Sunday with that auditor? No, but, you know, I was in The X-Files, dude, you know. And it made me sick, you know, all the time. I mean, if he wants to talk television, we'll talk television, mate. I was on Midday.
Hang out!
Twice. When Darren Hinch hosted.
Oh,
and I never brag about that. In fact, I never mentioned it before in my life.
That'd be I was going to say, it'd be a bit like going on The X-Files, wouldn't it? Going on Midday. Yeah. Let's carry on like that close-up.
Yeah, and let's get the Enigma hosting Midday. That'd be good.
No, he's the band leader. Jeff Harvey.
Yeah, Jeff Harvey's having horns grafted onto his head from coral as well, I understand.
But see, what they used to do, I used to see them in action, right? They'd finish their show. This is how vain they were. They'd finish their show, then they'd run around the front where the audience would come out and do a bit of what we call in comedy vicaring. You know, like, hello, thanks for coming. Would you like to hang around, you know? And him and the enema, you know, would be out the front. But I wonder, I mean, what are these guys going to do? What's their future? Like, I mean, you know, the Enigma. I mean, he's not really crew member of the month material, is he?
Nah.
You know? Can't say he's far in the back wall of McDonald's. And then there's Mr. Limpo, or Mr. Lifter.
Yeah, but we all know. Yeah.
And he, like, lifts things with his, you know, penis. I mean, where's the future there, you know? Like, building site or something.
Yeah, yeah.
More bricks, Mr. Limpo. Oh, what, you can only lift one? I mean, Jim Rose is going to be all right. He makes thousands of dollars out of this. Millions, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, he jumps, he has a bit of a sideline jumping dead cows on a motorbike, apparently.
Yeah, you know, he was on The X-Files?
And he keeps saying he was on The Simpsons, was he? Because I might have missed that one. Was the circus bizzo on The Simpsons, was it?
I think it was, yeah.
But that could have just been anybody. What, they have to get in the would they have bothered getting in the real Jim Rose to do the voice?
Oh, you'd have to, wouldn't you? Just for authenticity's sake.
I wonder when he goes back to America if he goes, you know, I was on What's Cooking with Jeff Jantz.
That opens doors.
But so next year, I'm doing the Dave O'Neill Freak Show. It's just going to be a 32-year-old overweight male sitting on a couch lighting his fart.
Wow.
I'm hoping to pack it out.
I'll look forward to that. Start growing horns now. What else is taking you? Any other show business that's impressing you at the moment?
Well, you know, we've had the Spice Girls, but we're still having them. Well, not me personally.
No.
You know, not in reality.
No.
I've actually got an announcement. I've actually joined the Old Spice Blokes.
Oh, have you? How does that work?
Well, there's like five Australian males, mainly about 55 years old. I'm the younger one. And like there's Mel. He prefers Malcolm. We're all themes. Like Mel's into gardening.
Yeah.
You know, there's Stan. He's the sporty one. He can watch it all day. You know.
Right.
And there's Kevin. He's a posh one. He finished his TAFE course.
Oh, very nice.
And his trade. And then there's me. I'm the sexy one. And we live by rules. My rule is, like this, you know, rule number one, if you can't love your own body, you know, pay someone that will.
That's Dave Power in action.
Now, did you play Casey and the Sunshine Band before?
Oh, we might have done.
Sounds like us. We'll give anything a run in case you didn't know.
This is a true story. I used to work with a guy in a storeroom. And he was a storeman, and he used to claim that he wrote every one of Casey and the Sunshine Band's hits.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, including Give It Up. And, like, and when Casey would come on, he'd go into, like, Casey and the Sunshine Rage, you know, like, that nose bars ripped me off and all that. And we used to hang shit on you, so you just go, na 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 na, oh, Barry, pick it up, pick up that box, and start up your forklift.
He would have hated that. That man sounds like a contender for something we've got going called Prize Dicks, Dave. Interested?
Oh, I'm very interested.
Let's do that next. I'm Martin Malloy. On Vogue. That's as French as this show gets. Don't let go. And Pete, what's the time?
It's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've been pantsed by your own 3-year-old at the supermarket. Perhaps you've been sprung singing along to Total Eclipse of the Heart at the traffic lights. Or maybe you've just been busted giving a transsexual prostitute a lift home, if you know what I mean. Whatever your tale of woe, Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to turn dictum to triumph and bag yourself a prize in the process.
Can do, Pete. And Dave O'Neill is still sitting on the panel. Birthday boy, Dave O'Neill. Dave, made a dick of yourself lately?
I did a routine once based on a true story, and quickly the routine goes like this. You know, I met a guy at a comedy night. He said, do you want to come over across the road? Because he lives across the road for a cup of coffee.
Yes.
And I went across the road with him. Just before he returned to go into his house, he turned around and said to me, look, mate, I just want to get one thing straight. I'm not a poofter or anything, right?
Right.
And I did it at a hotel one night. I walked up the stage and he was standing on the side of the stage.
Oh, dear.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. Did you tweak it a bit?
Yeah, no, but we're having dinner next Wednesday.
Good on you. Fantastic.
I think somebody who's in contention for prize dicks on any day of the week is the Duchess of York, if she's still called that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know you probably get into the Woman's Day, Dave.
Oh, great.
Mm. Fergie and Di hooked on wacky cures. And this, the Duchess of York coming out of some kind of New Age clinic with just a whole lot of sticky tape all over her. And apparently it's helping her lose weight or making her a better person or something. Mm. Just look at that. She's got patches everywhere.
She looks like she's fallen off a motorcycle or something and had to rush in for... Look at that.
Someone's attacked her with a bicycle repair kit, basically. It's doing some good. And is she still under contract to, what is it, the Weight Watchers, where she has to remain below a certain weight?
No, I believe so.
You'd be sneaking stuff on her plate, wouldn't you, if you're around at her joint?
Yeah.
But look, there's Larry Imdia. But this is Prize Dicks. Never the twain shall meet. No, we want to hear from the listeners. Have you made a dick of yourself? Now's your chance to call us up and get that Lost World pack. Oh, that's good!
Oh, yeah.
And we're throwing in the possibility of a chance to be at the world premiere of the Lost World in Hong Kong. Mm. It's going off Friday week, and you go to the post-premiere party if you come out of the barrel. Dave, have you ever been to any glitzy film premieres before? Hung out with the big knobs of the film world?
Not really. No, I was in the gang show.
Oh, I went to Vegas Vacation on Half Price Tuesday. All right, call us up if you've made a dick of yourself. We want to hear about it. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Have you gone completely Perez?
Broughton.
As always, that irritating din means it's time for Prize Dicks. Still coming together.
Notice I didn't leave you high and dry there, Tony. Even though I'm still busy and I'm working the phones, I still check in. Eepa!
I'm just writing out the info for Dave O'Neill.
Hey, Columba.
How much more music we got there, Gracie? We're still cobbling the segment together.
It's Yolanda.
Talk amongst yourselves, listeners. Thanks for helping, Dave. Yes, we're talking to the nation. We're finding out who's made a dick of themselves. And who do we want to talk to first?
Oh, well, why don't we try John? Are you there, buddy?
Yeah, matey.
That's the way. Ooh, you sound a bit down.
Yeah.
Is there, have you made a dick of yourself recently?
I sure have.
All right, talk us through it.
Oh, I went to the midnight screening of the first of the Star Wars series.
Yeah.
All my mates, oh, we'll all turn up in our boxer shorts, you know, the girls will come along in their jammies and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
I got out my prized collection of purple boxers and my purple dressing gown. Beautiful colour, I tell you what, I thought I'll just let everyone know all about my sexual frustrations.
Yes.
And turned up and no one else was wearing anything.
Not one of them.
No.
Had they sort of planned this?
No, it just turned out I was the only one with guts enough to go through with it.
Yeah, but you're the Dennis Rodman of the group now, mate.
I'm the fool.
Oh, dear, but surely at the midnight screening there'd have been a few, stormtroopers, maybe an amateur Darth Vader.
I turned up in the nude, and when they threw me out, I said, what? I'm Jabba the Hutt! I'm Jabba the Hutt!
What about the bloke we had on Gladiators the other day with a tennis racket cover on his head? He was,
An X-Wing.
I don't know what he was. He was fooling himself. Thanks, John. That's certainly an unfortunate story, but Caroline has made a dick of herself, haven't you, Caroline?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, I was going out with friends and this guy that I liked, and I heard that he'd like redheads, so I decided to dye my hair red. Okay. And when I went to wash it out, the water had been turned off, and by the time I got to wash it out, it was fire engine red.
Oh, no. So you had that kind of One Nation party look happening?
Yeah. It looked like I was wearing a clown's wig.
Yeah, you got to play Ronald McDonald at McHappy Day. So.
Oh, yeah.
And what about the bloke you were trying to impress?
They all just laughed at me.
Oh,
Didn't really want to know me.
Yeah, so you should have got together with John, our previous caller.
Yeah.
He could have burned your hamburger.
Okay, Rick, are you there? Rick, we want to hear what you've done.
Yeah, mate, how are you?
Good. You shaking? You're a bit disturbed?
Oh, yeah, just a little bit.
Yep.
I've gone out into town with the fellas and we've gone to a nightclub and I've met up with this girl.
Right.
And started dancing, got to know her after the night and that, and she gave me her phone number.
Oh, so far so good.
Yeah, so far so good. So I ring her up during the week and she's invited me around for dinner.
Yep.
So the next day I'm driving through Newcastle.
Yep.
And I had a car accident.
Yeah.
And I've got out and this bloke's abusing me and I've given him a bit of abuse back and he's claimed that I've gone through a red light and we've got into a bit of a scuffle. Anyway, the police have turned up a little bit later and they've, heard both sides of the story and took their statements and whatnot. Anyway, on the weekend I've turned up for dinner and rang the doorbell and who answers the door? It's an old man.
And it's on again. The cops are called.
Should have said, mate, ding, ding, ran too, buddy.
And did he, have a couple of black eyes and an arm in a sling just to complete the picture?
Oh, no, he just told me to get the hell out of there.
Oh, yeah.
You should have said, I'm going to the movies. Can I have the keys to the car?
Some idiot ran me off the road. All right, that's amazing. Oh. What an unfortunate coincidence in Newcastle. We've got Georgina on the line now. Are you there, Georgina?
Yeah, hi.
What's happened?
Last year I got a promotion to a manager of one of the flight centres.
Yes.
In Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
And that same week we had a big ball in Sydney and I took my new staff down to this ball.
Yep.
And one of the guys got up on stage and had to do a bit of a speech. And being a bit of a practical joker and I'd had a few drinks, I decided to break the ice and I dacked him on stage in front of about 2,000 people. But to my dismay, he wasn't wearing any undies.
Oh, no.
Boy, did I feel like a dip.
Well, might have.
And was there a round of applause? I mean, what was the reaction from the 2,000?
Oh, look, the whole amount of people were just in hysterics.
And, what was his reaction? How did he react to that?
Well, he stood there for about 5 seconds, not realising what had happened.
Gee, a bit of an accidental Chippendales kind of a thing. Well, that's certainly making a dick of yourself.
Yo.
And that man will be wearing 4 pairs of underpants at every conference he goes to from now on. But is it our winner, Dave? It's up to you to choose. We've got John with the Star Wars action, Caroline, the redhead, Rick with the Newcastle's prang business, and, of course, Georgina, no pants.
I think Rick with the car.
You're right. Yes.
And here's the money for the court case.
It's an amazing, unfortunate coincidence, but are you there, Rick?
Yes.
Oh, well, you've got the Lost World prize pack, and you could be going to Hong Kong if you come out of the barrel next Friday to attend the world premiere of the film, and, of course, it's a trip for two. Do you reckon you'll go back and ask her again?
Definitely not. It does pay off to be a dick sometimes.
Okay. Well, nicely dicked, and thanks to everyone who helped us out today. And Dave O'Neill, thanks for coming in.
No worries.
Have you got something to plug? When are you on?
I'm on tonight, my lounge room. No, I'm not. I'm going overseas for my brother's wedding, believe
me. Oh, okay, well.
So I'm performing there.
Tickets available through Bass. Read him with One I Love here at Martin Malloy, and I know we've had a lot of inquiries about that. Oh, rather disturbing business that happened over the weekend. Here's the details. Well, there was shock and your woman from White Town. The song with the sudden ending. Like Martin Malloy, it's about to wind up, but have we got to all the crumbs? There's a photograph today of Michael Jackson in the paper. Mm. He's gone along to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they've got the Jackson 5 back together for the first time in 10 years. And when you see them all together, you realise why there hasn't been a reunion before. Are they all from the same family? 3 fairly normal-looking blokes and something else.
One of these guys is not like the others.
Just look, just do a mad fold-out. You move, Jermaine's face over. Look at the difference.
If you cut Jermaine's nose in half, you're just about there.
And you don't look too closely at that photograph. What have you found?
I'm still looking at these stowaways. I'm tracing their course, Tone.
Yeah.
They've jumped off a ship. They've swum a couple of Ks. Mm. Then they've lobbed on the, Cairns coast or somewhere up there.
Lived off
bugs. 3 of them. Oh, there's like a kind of kinky blue lagoon they've got going on up there, isn't it?
Is that how you came to Australia, Tone? Yeah, that's
right. Is that the New Zealand way? Did you just jump ship, swim ashore and live off berries for a couple of weeks?
Ate bugs for a whole year.
by choice.
Put on a little pot, didn't you? You'd eaten so many bugs.
That's how we all do it, Mick.
Oh, dear.
That's, even Darren Hinch did it that way.
That's how I'd like to see...
And they didn't even have the chicken fat.
Nah, nothing.
Here's the final dogs, because we love the dog stories. Hello to our Darwin listeners. Listen to this. Police rushed to a suburban Darwin home after a dog apparently made an emergency call to a hospital. What's happened is they've got a call at the hospital. They've heard the dog bark and they've thought, oh, somebody's down. They can't get to the phone. They've got the phone. They've gone round there and it's just a dog barking. The dog has called the hospital itself and barked at the staff. Ambo's there, there's nothing going on. And then everyone was laughing even more when 3 minutes later 17 pizzas arrived, apparently. So, hello to our Darwin listeners. Yeah, there's always a bit of dog work. And we've got to go because I understand we've got a special coming out before we sign off. Is that right, Gracie? Okay, thanks to Dave O'Neill, all our gladiators and prize dicks. Tomorrow, thanks to Coca-Cola, we'll be back with Russell Gilbert. And we mentioned coming out of the closet earlier, Ellen DeGeneres. Everyone's heard about that. And, you know, it's been such a big ratings winner. Lots of other big-name TV stars are following suit.